The Vampire Kitty Cat Chronicles, Chapter 25. Benedict and Arnold show up. Maybe a half dozen mob members carried pointy sticks in their hands. I looked around for a place to hide. My gaze met those of enraged vampires, their dirt-streaked faces plastered against the car's rear window. They opened their mouths wide as they screamed their chant. They didn't have fangs, but it sure felt like they did. Traitor, traitor, stake the traitor, 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 stake the traitor. Vera volunteered.
It looks like you've picked up a fan club, Meg.
She turned to Meg.
I like you, honey, but Sammy was right when he said there would be trouble if you outed us.
She looked at the mob. Only I didn't expect it to come from V's. Meg said, but what have they got against me? Meg's car door jerked open and grubby, claw-like hands grabbed her arm and pulled. Maybe it was reflex, but she gripped me to her chest even tighter. As much as I liked Meg, I thought maybe this was the time for a little distance in our relationship, but it was too late. Sucking in gasps of air, the mob members ululated victory cries. They left Vera where she was. She was punching numbers on a cell phone when we were wrenched from the car. Two vampires gripped Meg's arms and hauled her through the crowd, which parted to let us pass and closed in behind us. One arm was in the clutches of a muscular-looking black woman in dirt-streaked, light-blue pajama-like clothes that made me think of the surgeons I'd seen on medical dramas. A young man who was prettier than he was handsome, dressed in nothing but the briefest of briefs, gripped the other. His wide-open eyes rolled and flared, and the word mindless came to mind. Meg's grip on me loosened, but she didn't let go. I held on with my claws. Traitor, traitor, stake the traitor, 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 stake the traitor. Our captors pushed through the throng to the brick side of the building, then turned Meg around and pinned her to the wall, facing out. The vampires milled in front of us and brandished their stakes, but none stepped forward. Meg drew a deep breath and screamed, "Why me?" Two voices came from the other side of the vampires facing us. "Because you're taking away their way of life." The mob quieted as only a bunch of people who don't have to breathe can. Tom and Tim Conway? The mob parted, and the Conway twins strode through. Their suits were dirty, and they sported smudges on their faces, but their hair was clean and neat, and the clothing wasn't wrinkled and tattered like the others. Since they didn't need to be dirty, I figured it was an act. They stopped in front of us. Tim said, "Even worse, you," Tom finished, "might win. Can't have that." I was shocked. It's not easy for people to shock a kitty cat, mostly because we really don't give a meow about what you do to each other, but betrayal is alien to our nature. More than that, we really resent it when people do something to screw up our lives, or in my case, my existence. Meg said, "You? But you were allies. My defenders. My lawyers." Tim shrugged. "All true." Pretty guy shook Meg.
"Are we gonna stake them?"
Meg said, "But why?" Tom gave a shrug identical to Tim's. "Because we want to win. That's what lawyers are all about." Tim added, "Winning." Meg said, "But what about justice?" "Not nearly as good as winning." "It's the money, isn't it? Daddy Greenbanks and his big bucks?" Tom raised his eyebrows and said, "Never crossed my mind." He looked at Tim. "You?" Tim brushed at a crust of dirt on his coat. "Heaven forfend! What do you think we are?" "In a word, lawyers." Meg turned to Pretty Guy. "Can't you see that they're using you?" Pretty Guy said, "They're not the ones who exposed us." The doctor type holding Meg's other arm said, "Now that the people and the cops know about us, it isn't safe to be a vampire." "As if it ever was." Meg said, "But you could have your old life back. You can be people again if you help me get elected. I'll protect your rights."
Pretty Guy snorted. People like me didn't really have rights. We couldn't even marry each other. Doc shook her head. Besides, we like following the dark path, spreading terror, and drinking blood in the depths of the dark. Shades of Lester. The old Lester, that was. Pretty Guy said, and you've taken that all away. Meg said, but these guys are campaigning too. They'll expose you even more. Doc said, but they promise they'll get the cops to leave us alone after they're elected. You're trusting a lawyer's promise? Pretty Guy said, she's got a point there. Tim said, that's enough of this. Of course we'll keep our promise. He turned to the mob and called out, who wants to be the first one to stake this traitor? Tom put a hand on Tim's shoulder. What about Patch? Tim turned back. We'll take him with us. We'll say we rescued him. Good sympathy vote. Tom reached for me. I took a breath, hissed, and raised both front paws, claws extended. Tom stopped. You want to get him? Shaking his head, Tim said, I don't want to go around for the rest of my death with wounds that won't heal. Patch here will just have to take the stake, too. Pretty Guy said, hey, not the kitty cat. I was warming to Pretty Guy. I turned to him and gave him the wide-eyed look. For good measure, I added a questioning, Murr? Doc said, yeah, the kitty cat didn't out us. Tim said, what's the matter with you people? I thought you liked ravaging the innocent. People, sure, but not kitty cats. Tom turned to Tim. Why couldn't we have found, Tim said, dog-lover vampires? Pretty Guy smiled at me. Pretty Guy smiled at me. Doc, you hold her, and I'll take care of Patch. Doc reached around and gripped Meg's other arm. Pretty Guy let go and put his hands around my chest. Okay, it was decision time. I could be safe with the psycho vampires and probably get away later. Vera would take me in. Besides, Meg was the one who had turned me into a vampire in the first place. I still owed her for that. Meg looked down at me. Go with them, Patch. You'll be okay. That derailed my train of thought. She was willing to finish dying for me? That was even more touching than premium cat food. Well, if she could look out for me, I could do the same for her. That's what associates are for. Pretty Guy pulled at me, but I dug all four sets of claws into Meg's clothes and hung on. He tugged and then released me. He doesn't want to go. Now what? Tim smiled. The steak. I started having second thoughts about hanging with Meg, which was natural, cats being entirely oriented towards survival. Or pleasure, whichever came first. But then survival seemed like an oxymoron considering my current lack of life. I guess there were different kinds of survival, and at a deep level I preferred being undead to being all dead. I assessed my chances. Humans weren't very quick. Maybe if I ran for it. A teenage vampire boy whose face displayed an unfortunate array of zits that would never go away stepped up and held a stake out to Tim. Tim said, ew, and fluttered his hands to shoo the stake away. I'm no barbarian. Doc scowled. You're saying we are? No, of course not. You're our friends and voters. We just never, Tom finished, used actual violence. We're more like management. Nodding, Tim added, we delegate. Doc said, well, this time, since you're the guys who got us all riled up, I think you need to do your part. She took the stake and held it out to Tim. On the other hand, if I ran for it, the vampires were packed awfully close. I could get stomped flat and left for the sun to finish, unable to move. Tim accepted the stake. The teenage vampire offered a hammer, and Tom took it. Tim shrugged. Well, a man's gotta do, Tom raised the hammer. What a man's gotta do. A big voice called from the far side of the crowd. Hold! I knew that voice. As heads turned, Seiko sailed through the air and landed between Tom and Tim. She grabbed the hammer from Tom and hit Tim's stake-holding hand with it, knocking the stake out of his grip. Pretty Guy said, Lestat? Yes! Lester said, make way! And the vampires parted, leaving a clear path between us and a magnificent 7-foot black-clad savior. I hoped. Vera stood a step behind them, packing her cowboy pistol. Greetings peppered him as they strode our way.
Yo, Lestat! Master!
You're back.
Just a step behind him, Vera evoked hisses and boos, but the feral V's kept their distance when the barrel of her gun swung their way. The crowd filled in behind them.
Pretty guy grinned and said, Welcome back, Lestat.
The doc looked grim. You back on the wild side? Or are still copping out with, she nodded at Vera, traitors to the true way? Lester loomed in the way only he could loom, like a human skyscraper.
Are you calling me a traitor?
To give Doc credit, she heartily cowered.
You're the guy who isn't around anymore. You're the one who's clean.
Meg said, Who's being the traitor? Aren't you a traitor to yourself? Doc stiffened. I follow the vampire way. Shaking her head, Meg said, You're the same person you were before you got bitten. You weren't living in the dirt, running around drinking blood. You were healing people. Who's the traitor?
Lester nodded. What she said.
He wrapped an arm around Seiko and pulled her close.
Seiko made me realize that I'm still a man, and there's a life for me beyond childish play in the dirt.
Pretty guy brushed at the dirt on his chest, and I caught the other vampires looking each other over, tidying their clothing, swiping at dirt streaks. Pretty guy said,
Yeah, I still like kitty cats.
Meg turned to Doc. What about you? Don't you still like medicine? She chewed on her lip, gazed into the distance, then looked to Meg and nodded.
Sure, but what's there for me to do?
I can't work on breathers for fear I'll contaminate them, and these sure don't need group health.
Lester pointed to the furrows of raw flesh on his neck, the parallel rows I'd ripped into him with my claws.
It had been the right thing to do at the time, but I felt bad about it now.
He said, What about these? Maybe you could figure out a way for us to do some healing.
Not a bad idea. After all, the initial bite wound healed. It was just later that healing was a problem. Doc's gaze focused on Lester's neck. She frowned.
I wonder.
She released Meg's arm and said to Vera, Will the AVA set me up with a place to work?
With pleasure.
Pretty guy let go of Meg's other arm, reached around and gave me a stroke on my back. And said, I think maybe I could get my old night shift job back at the Bloomsburg Turkish Bath. Lively conversation, a rare item in a crowd of people who don't inhale all that much, broke out among the V's. They wandered off in groups of two or three. I saw a lot of smiles. Meg said, I can't thank you enough, Lester. He shrugged.
Let's just get you elected.
Tom said to Tim, Well, time for us to hit the campaign trail, too. They started off, but Lester grabbed them and slammed them together, back to back. He gripped their heads with one major hand and held out his other hand.
Steak, please.
Seiko frowned.
You're not.
Oh, nothing terminal.
But these guys do need to put their heads together and think about what they tried to do to Meg and Patch.
Excellent. Revenge.
Revenge isn't quite as satisfying as a good lick or scratch behind the ears, but there are times it really, really hits the spot. Doc handed him a stake. Lester placed the stake against the base of Tom's neck and drove it in. The tip came out the front of Tim's neck, pinning them together. There was no bleeding, of course. Lester released them and said,
Maybe next time you'll think about this before you attack your own kind.
I didn't believe they would, but it was fun to see them sidle away, Tom tugging at the base of the stake and Tim shouting, Stop! I feel something tearing! Headlights swung across us, and a car pulled up in the AVA driveway and parked behind a VW Bug. Ernie the cameraman got out of the driver's seat and shouted, Hey! Ginger Grant stepped out from her side and led the way toward us. Ernie didn't have his camera, and she didn't have her microphone. She seemed naked and vulnerable without it. Meg said, If you want an interview, could we make it for later? I'm beat. Grant shook her head. Daddy Greenbanks bought KDBC. Somehow we ended up fired. There won't be any more interviews. Ernie pulled a video cassette out of his jacket pocket.
But I did manage to hold on to our tape of Daddy threatening blackmail.
Ginger said, By the way,
You and Patch are really dropping in the polls. Daddy has commercials about the twins all over the place. Name recognition alone is going to kill you, so to speak. No money. No backers. Steamrolled in the media. No more friendly press. Meg's campaign was doomed. And along with it, my life of comfort.
The song is Dire Wolf from Reckoning by the Grateful Dead. Please don't murder me. For more fun, visit VampireKittyCat.com.